Good morning, everyone. Welcome here to our morning service at Calvary Baptist Church of Treherne. And also welcome those intruded us via internet and our visitor today. Welcome. Please open your hymnal to number 204. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Number 204.
Father, we're thankful this morning that we can turn our eyes upon thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't see him with our physical eye, but spiritually we can see him through thy word. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to gather together in thy house and to learn of thee. We pray for each one that is here, that each one would allow thee to direct their thoughts, that they would set aside the distractions to be able to hear the truth. We pray for those that are listening via live streaming that we can be a help to them as well. We continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that souls would be saved in that country and Jews across the world would get saved. Pray also for many Gentiles to be saved. We do pray for our governments, pray that our government leaders would see the need to be saved, and for our police forces and doctors and nurses as well. We thank you that we can be a light, and we pray that we would be a faithful witness, seeking to help others to know the truth in these days of grace. So may thy will be accomplished here, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
And over to 269. Under his wings. Number 269. To 495, the unsearchable riches. Number 495, unsearchable riches, yeah.
Unsearchable riches of Christ, Who shall their greatness declare? Dear was those lost, our lives me adorn. First that a poor is me wear. Precious, more precious, wealth that can never be told. All the unsearchable riches of Christ, precious, more precious than gold. All the unsearchable riches of Christ, freely, how freely they flow, making the souls of that faithful and true happy wherever they go. Precious, more precious, wealth that can never be told. All the unsearchable riches of Christ, precious, more precious than gold. All the unsearchable riches of Christ, who would not gladly endure trials, afflictions, and crosses on earth, riches like this to secure. Precious, more precious, wealth that can never be told. All the unsearchable riches of Christ, precious, more precious than gold.
Take your Bibles and turn to Luke's gospel account of the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 6. Going to read the first five verses there of Luke chapter 6. We'll stand, please, for reading of God's word. Luke chapter 6, beginning there at verse 1. And it says there, "And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first, that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering said unto answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. And he said unto them, The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again this morning that we have thy word. We're thankful again that we can study thy word, and that we can learn so many things. We can benefit if we will believe what thy word says. We pray that as we look into these verses, that again we would set aside anything that would hinder us from hearing from thee. Pray for anyone that's listening that's not saved, that they might see their need to humble themselves today and turn to thee in repentance and trust in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, alone for their salvation. May thy will be accomplished as we study this passage. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning is Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. It's hard to believe that today is September the 1st. We're in the last quarter now of this year. The time has gone by fast. The combines are out in the fields already, and farmers are busy bringing in the crop. And we're going to, my wife said this morning, she saw a flock of geese high in the sky flying south. So they're reminding us that the winter is coming. I heard from someone today, this week, that they said the Farmer's Almanac says it's going to be a cold and snowy winter this year. So we'll see what the Lord gives us. But we have in Canada, we have four seasons. Some countries, you don't have those seasons identified as much as we do, especially Western Canada. We know when summer comes, we know when spring is here, we know when winter is here, and we also know when fall is here. So things are changing very quickly this year, and we need to understand that the changes that we're facing are not because of what our government tries to tell us, man-made climate change. That's a lie. God is in charge of the climate. He changes the weather patterns according to his will, and he uses the weather patterns to get man's attention. So as we have seen in certain parts of Canada and other parts of the world, we've seen heavy rainfalls this summer, and that has nothing to do with how many cars we drive or how many cows people have. It has to do with God is controlling the weather, and he's warning us and reminding us that he is in charge and we need to listen to him. Most people in Canada don't know the true God. They don't want to know the true God. They're not interested in the truth. And so God is getting their attention. And he wants them to realize that they need to listen to him. They need to be saved. And so our prime minister can get out there and lie all he wants, and he is a big distraction. There are too many people that believe those lies. But what we need to understand is, what does God say? And we need to know him. So the first thing we want to look at in Luke chapter 6 here is understanding Bible language. And I mentioned in Sunday school that we have in verse 1, we have something that you won't find anywhere else in the Bible. In verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first." Now what is that talking about? What Sabbath are we talking about? And so we have to try to understand that if we can. God gave us this. And so obviously if God gave it to us, he wants us to try to understand it. There are certain things in the Bible. If you go in your Bibles to 2 Peter, we find that there are things in the Bible that are hard to understand. And it tells us there to be careful when we come to those kinds of passages. So we go to 2 Peter chapter 3. It tells us there in verse 15, "An account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." So when we take the Bible and we try to twist it just because we want to try and prove how smart we are, we run into trouble. We find ourselves under God's judgment. So if we can't understand something, well, fine, we just admit we can't understand it. But we need to at least ask God to help us and to show us what is he trying to say with this. And so these words are here, "And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first." So let's read on and see what else we can learn here. "That he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands." So there we are given some further information that can help us to understand what the time frame is of these words. So we can go back to Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, we have in verse 1, It says, at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. So we have a similar passage there, and there again, it's talking about the Sabbath, and it's talking about going through the corn. Now, we need to understand that the word corn in the Bible is a generic word. When we think of corn, we look at the green fields that are out in our part of Canada. Corn is standing taller than wheat and barley. It ripens later in the year. It has tassels on the top, and it has generally two cobs per plant. Sometimes you get three, but we call that corn. You can have sweet corn, and you can have field corn. The field corn is used for cattle and for making ethanol for burning in your vehicles, and the sweet corn is used for people to eat. And so but in the Bible, the word corn is used in a generic sense, which means that corn is a reference to grain. So barley and wheat are included when it talks about corn. So when we look at these two passages, Matthew 12 and Luke chapter 6, they're talking about the same thing. They're talking about the Sabbath day, and they're talking about the disciples and Jesus going through the cornfield. And it tells us in verse 1 of Luke 6 that the disciples plucked the ears of corn and they rubbed them in their hands. So that tells us something else about the time of the year that this is taking place. If you went through the literal cornfields in Manitoba today, and you went in there and you took a cob of corn off and you tried to rub that in your hands, you would end up with a slimy, milky product in your hands because it's not ripe. It's in what they call the milk stage right now. So it's very soft, and you're not going to get something dry. You could eat it, but it would be messy. It doesn't tell us that that's what happened here. They're rubbing it in their hands as you would when the wheat or the barley or the oats is dry, and you take and you rub that head of grain in your hands, and you can thrash out the grain. You separate the grain from the chaff, you blow the chaff out with your mouth, with your breath, and then you can eat the grain. So that tells us something, that the disciples and Jesus here are traveling at this time in the time of harvest. Most likely it is the month of Abib or Nisan. Now, what happens in the month of Abib or Nisan in Bible times? Well, that's the time when the Passover took place. So this is what the assumption is here from this passage, because it talks about the second Sabbath after the first. In the Passover week, you have the Sabbath, and the day after the Sabbath is the beginning of the 7 days of unleavened bread. And we can read that. You can make reference of this if you want to from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 28, and Exodus 23, verse 15, where it talks about the Passover and it talks about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The second day of the Passover week, which is the beginning of unleavened bread, was sometimes referred to as a Sabbath as well in the Bible. The 7 weeks after the first day of unleavened bread, they calculated 7 weeks. That's 49 days. So after the 49 days, we have the Feast of Pentecost. That's what is, we talk about that in Acts chapter 2 as well, but in the Old Testament, it was a Feast of Pentecost. And on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you have also the wave offering, which was a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there are things that God taught the nation of Israel in the Old Testament that were pictures of things that were coming in the New Testament. Pentecost, we know that on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, is when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles in a new way. Now, the Pentecostals, they misuse that, and so do other groups. But the Pentecostals believe that today as well, that the Holy Spirit still comes upon people and they speak in tongues. And that's not true. The apostles were given the ability to communicate the gospel. If you go to Acts chapter 2, they were able to communicate the gospel in the language of the various people that were there. They weren't just babbling. They weren't showing off. The Pentecostals of today, they just babble. They're not speaking human languages, and they admit that. They know it's an unknown language. They claim that they have interpreters, but they've been proven at times to be false in that. And the gift of tongues is not available today. We can learn different languages, but it takes time. Tongues in the Bible are always languages. And so we don't have that happening today. I can't speak Tagalog. I've tried to remember a few words, but I'm not very good at it. But there are different languages represented in Canada, and the only way we can learn them is by studying. Sitting down with someone who knows the language and having them say the words so we pronounce them right, so that the person we're talking to from that language knows what we're saying. We can look at a word and pronounce it the way we think it's pronounced, but we can be way off. I remember a church that we attended, and the pastor used the word recipe. Now, what is a recipe? And so we had to stop and think for a while, what is he talking about when he's talking about a recipe? And what he was talking about is a recipe. Now, a recipe is something, it's a set of instructions to bake a cake or to make bread or something like that. But when you don't know how to pronounce it, then you pronounce it any way you think is right. And he was of German background, and so he pronounced it recipe. So it's important, if you're going to communicate in a language, that you learn how to speak in that language, so that the people from that language understand what you want to say. They shouldn't have to guess and try to figure out, because again, you're distracting them from listening to what you're saying, because they're trying to figure out what is that word you're talking about. So the second day, as we see here, the second day, which is the day after the day of Pentecost, would be known as the second day. The second Sabbath, from the day, that day, that's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 7 days, with 7 weeks of Sabbath. So the first Sabbath after the second day was called the second first. Sounds confusing. It's hard for us to understand because we're not Jews. We don't live in Israel. But again, the second Sabbath here was called the second second. So that's the, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but what we have going on in Luke chapter 6 is this is right after the Passover day, and this is the second Sabbath after the first. So it's right after the Passover. That's what God is talking about here in these verses. So that's as much as I'm going to say about it. If you want to have any more detail, I can give you some more references. But that's the time frame. We're talking about the time of the Passover. We're talking about the time of the barley harvest in particular. That's the time frame, because they're rubbing out the grain in their hands. So the second thing that we want to look at here is, whose law should we follow? Whose law should we follow? And it tells us in verse 2, it says, "And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days?" So here the Pharisees, and we've said already before, the Pharisees were a religious group that was developed over a 400-year period when there was no direct prophetic message from God. After the book of Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, there was 400 years of silence where God did not give any new message to the people. They still had the Old Testament books. They had them written in scrolls, but there was no new message from God. And during that time, there were religious Jews, zealous Jews, but they were not saved Jews. They didn't believe in God. They weren't like Malachi. They weren't like Jeremiah or Ezekiel. They did not believe in the true God. And so during those years, this group of Jews developed their own religion. And the Pharisees were their leaders. And with them, there was the Sadducees. And so these groups, they got together and they sat down and they took certain parts of the Bible, and from that they developed their own religion. We have the same problem today. We have people who don't attend church very much or ever, but they're interested in the Bible. So they read certain parts of the Bible and they develop their own religion. And then based on that, that's what they live by. It's not the truth, but to them it's good enough. The Pharisees were not content to have their own false religion just for themselves, but they tried to force it upon all the Jews. And so in order to do that, they had to become friends of the Roman government so that they could have the support and the backing of the Roman government to be able to force their religion upon the Jews. And so that's what we have going on here. The Pharisees, they said unto Jesus' disciples, and we've noted that before already, that the Pharisees tried to undermine the truth, and they tried to attack the disciples first. They would go after Jesus as well, but they tried to attack the disciples. And so they asked him, "Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days?" So according to the Pharisees' laws, the Jews or the disciples were breaking the Sabbath laws. So were they actually doing that? Verse 3, "And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him?" So Jesus shows us here how we answer critics. How do we answer false religion? Now, I talked already this morning about the Pentecostals, the Charismatics, and they're speaking in tongues. How do we know that what they're doing is wrong? Well, we can go back in the Bible, go back to Genesis chapter 11, and we can learn something about tongues. And anytime you want to understand any Bible doctrine, you have to go back to where does God first mention that doctrine, and how does God teach that doctrine? Not how does man teach it, but how does God teach it? So when you go to Genesis chapter 11, we find there in verse 1, it says, "And the whole world was of one," what? One language. Not babbling. It's at the Tower of Babel, that's where we get the word babbling from, but they were all of one language. And so it tells us going on in that passage in verse 7, we're going to skip that for the sake of time, but it says there in verse 7, "Let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech." So what did God do? He went there and he gave the people different languages, so they can no longer communicate, and because they couldn't communicate, they couldn't finish their tower. Because one person's asking for a brick in his language, the other person is now speaking a different language, he doesn't know what the guy's talking about. The other guy's asking for mortar to put the brick together with the other bricks, and the other person doesn't understand what he's talking about. So they couldn't understand each other, and so they scattered. The different ones that spoke the same language went together, and others with a different language went together as well. So it tells us in verse 8, "So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. So that's the beginning of tongues. Up until that time, everybody spoke the same language. But now there's a difference because of the fact that God was judging them. And we can go in chapter 10 and we see the word tongue. In verse 31, for instance, it says there, these are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. Now, the people of Bible times were just like you and I. They didn't have long tongues that were hanging out for a long distance so you could examine the tongue and identify the people because their tongues are hanging out. It's talking about the language that they spoke. The Shemites spoke the same language, so they stayed together. And you find the same thing today. In Canada, we have a lot of immigrants that come into this country. My parents, my grandparents came from Russia. When they came to Canada, they knew that they were living in a different land. They still wanted to be able to speak German, so they did in their own house. But when they came to business, they understood if we want to do business, we have to learn the language of Canada, which is English. So they did. They learned English so that they could go to the store and buy things. They could go and do business with other people. My grandpa became a farmer. And as a farmer, he had to be able to sell his products. And so he had to communicate with the people in Canada. They're the ones that are going to buy his product. He's not going to ship them back to Russia. He's got to sell them here. Nowadays, we have a lot of immigrants, but they don't want to learn the language. So they congregate in their own community within Canada, and it's causing a lot of problems. Because they don't learn the language, they don't communicate with people. Some of them have no interest in communicating with people. They want to take over this country, and it's creating problems. But in our text again, we have the fact here of God, Jesus, going back to the Old Testament to help the Pharisees and the disciples and the others that were here to understand what did God say about the Sabbath. So same thing, when you want to understand the Bible doctrine, you go back to what does God say about it. And so what Jesus did here is in verse 3, he referred back to David. Now David was the revered king of the nation of Israel, still is today. If you go to Israel and you get to talk to especially the more religious Jews, they still refer back to David. They respect David because in the time that David was the king, the nation of Israel was probably the best off that it ever was in the history of Israel. Now, a lot of people refer to Solomon because of all the wealth that he had, but Solomon was not a good leader because he married many wives and he introduced idolatry into the land of Israel. David was a shepherd boy who became the king of Israel, directed by God, and he led the people to follow God. So David is a better king than Solomon. And the people of Israel, they respect David for that. And they still are looking for someone like David to come and to rule over them. That's why they rejected Jesus. When David became the king, his main enemy was the Philistines. And God directed him to destroy the Philistines. When Jesus came to this earth, the main enemy to Israel was the Romans. And so the Pharisees and other Jews like that, they were looking for a Messiah to come and overthrow the Roman government. When Jesus came, he didn't do that. He wasn't going to do that. He didn't come to overthrow a human government. He came to provide salvation for mankind. The problem, the biggest problem in Canada is not our government. It is a big problem, but it's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem in Canada is the rejection of God. That's the problem. And when you reject God, you face all kinds of other problems. So Jesus took these Pharisees and the others that were there back to the time of David. And he related to a time when David was not yet the official king. He was already anointed as king by God, but Saul was still the official king of Israel. And Saul was jealous of David, and so he wanted to kill him. So during that little over a year where David had to run and hide all the time, he ended up at one point with about 400 men following him, and he needed to have something to eat. And so he came to Abimelech, who was the high priest, and he asked for the bread, the showbread, for him and his men to eat. Abimelech did not want to give it to him because, as it says in our text here, the showbread was meant for the priests only. It was holy bread. Every day they needed to bake new bread and put it on the table, and then the old bread was for the priests to eat. But David wasn't a priest, and David needed food. And so David said, because this was the old bread, he said, it's like common bread. Abimelech didn't argue with him when he told him that. God didn't say that David was sinning in taking that bread, and God didn't say that Abimelech was sinning in giving David that bread. And Jesus used that here to show that even though this bread was a special bread, it could be eaten by the common people under the right conditions. David and his men needed food. They had to run from King Saul, and so it was right for Abimelech to give them this bread at this time, and that's what he did. So in verse 4 it says how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread and gave also to them that were with him, when it was not lawful to eat but for the priests alone. So Jesus makes it clear to these people that what David did was against the normal law of God. But again, as we see in our third point, that the Sabbath, just as what David did, was made for man, and that the Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath, and so he can give us the right understanding of it. And so the third point is keeping the right authority. Keeping the right authority. So we look at verse 5, and it says there, and he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So when Jesus is talking about the Son of Man, you notice the word Son is capital S. That's talking of Jesus, his deity. Jesus is both the Son of Man and he's the Son of God. He became man in order to be able to go to the cross for you and I. But he's also the Son of God, and that's why he can forgive us of our sin. I could not go and die on the cross and save myself, never mind anybody else. Jesus Christ, because he is God, he is without sin, and therefore he could go to the cross and lay down his life and shed his blood there and provide salvation for all of mankind. There is no other Savior. And that's important for us to understand. So when we look here at verse 5, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, there are people today, for instance, Seventh-day Adventists, who try to make the Sabbath a part of salvation. They are just as bad as the Pharisees. They have corrupted the law of God and made the Sabbath something that it is not. And so they use Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to defend their false teaching. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, it tells us that God rested on the seventh day from his creation. But we find that the people of that time did not keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given to the nation of Israel in the book of Exodus in chapter 20. And if you go in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 31, which comes after chapter 20, Exodus chapter 31, we find God's purpose for the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 31, in verse 13, it says there, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you." So who was the Sabbath given to? Israel. Let's read verse 17 of the same passage. And there it talks again about the Sabbath. "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." So in that verse, God directed Moses to point out the reason for the Sabbath, because he uses the example of God resting on the seventh day. But God makes it very clear here that the Sabbath was a sign made by God for Israel, to remind Israel that they are his people. And so on the Sabbath day in Bible times, the nation of Israel was not supposed to do their regular work. They were not supposed to go out in the fields and harvest their crops. They were not supposed to go and buy and sell. It was a day of rest. If they needed to milk the cow, they could do that. If their cow fell into the well, they could do that. They could get it out. If someone was sick on the Sabbath, they could help him. But they were not supposed to do regular work that was not necessary for survival. So that was the law that God gave to the Jews. There are people today that are confused, and they say that today, Sunday, is the Christian Sabbath. No, it's not. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. This is the first day of the week. Those who are true Christians should understand that this is the day that we should use to worship God in a more direct manner. The reason that we meet on the first day of the week and not on the seventh day of the week is because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. And you find that after he rose on the first day of the week, that he met with his disciples several times on the first day of the week. The Bible makes that clear. The Bible also tells us that the disciples met, and the early churches met, on the first day of the week. That's when they would get together for the study of God's word and for fellowship. So that's why we meet on Sunday. It's not something that somebody somewhere along the line invented. We do that because Jesus Christ made the first day of the week special because of his resurrection. So when we look at our text again, the Son of Man is the Lord also of the Sabbath. So if we're going to learn how to use the Sabbath, we're going to learn how to use it from the Lord of the Sabbath. So for Christians, we don't keep the Sabbath. People go out and they work on Saturday. Nothing wrong with that. But Christians should not be doing regular work on Sunday. Why not? Because we want to give other people the opportunity to also come to church. If I'm going to go to the co-op after the service today, I'm expecting somebody to miss church so they can keep the store open so that I can go there and buy my things. If I'm going to go to the restaurant for dinner today, I'm expecting someone to miss church so they can provide a meal for me to eat. They need to be in church just as much as I do. And so we should understand that, and if we love people, as the Bible says we should if we're saved, we do not want to keep people from being able to learn the truth. We want to make it possible for them to be able to go to church where they can learn the truth. Let's look at two more verses in regard to the Old Testament law on the Sabbath from the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel. And looking there at chapter 20, in verse 12, Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 12. And again, Ezekiel there is writing to the Jews, and he says, "Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them." And then in verse 20, "And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God." So the nation of Israel was supposed to be the nation through whom all the peoples of the world would come to know the true God. The sad reality is that Israel failed in that task. They rejected the true God, and therefore they were sent into exile for a number of years. And today as well, Israel is suffering in their own land because of their rejection of God. If you have paid attention to the news, you know that, I believe it was on Friday, that the Hamas killed six of the Jewish hostages that they took last October the 7th. One of them was an American Jew, and the Israeli soldiers knew where those hostages were, and they were getting close to them, and in fact, they heard the Hamas people kill them. They heard the gunshots murdering those hostages because they didn't want them to be released. So when the Jewish soldiers got to them, they were all dead. That's murder. That's not war, that's murder. And so that's how Hamas operates. They don't want the Jews to live, and they keep the hostages to try to use them as a pry bar to get what they want out of the Jews. And when they can't do that, then they just kill them. So there's a hatred there today yet between the Jews and the Muslims. And the reason for that hatred and the reason that Israel is suffering so much by that hatred is because Israel today has still rejected the true God. The Bible tells us one day they will recognize the true God and Jesus Christ as their Messiah and King, and things will change then. But for now, they are suffering because of their rejection of the truth. So Jesus Christ, back in our text again, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And the word Lord means the supreme authority. So if we want to know the purpose of the Sabbath, we have to go to the Bible. We can go and ask all kinds of people what they think, but if we want to know the truth, we go to the Bible. And the Pharisees had set themselves up as the authority for the law. And they had corrupted the law. And so they were saying to the disciples, it's not lawful for you to go into the cornfield and take some grain to eat. That's not true. That's what they had said, but it's not true. The Sabbath was there for man to benefit from it. It was not there to cripple man. And so even today, there's a law that if you're walking somewhere, you're traveling somewhere, you can stop in a field and you can take enough grain for you to eat right then. You can't fill your pockets, but you can go and take the grain that you need to eat right then. That's allowed. That's not stealing. But if you're going to fill your pockets, now you're stealing. So that's still, even though our country does not respect God, but they don't even realize why they have that law, but that's a biblical law. You can go, that's what the crops are for. Yes, the farmer plants them, but if you go and take your few kernels that you're going to eat, you're not going to ruin that crop. Unless you go and stomp all through it to go and get your little bit of grain, which would be foolish. So you're not going to hurt the farmer's yield by taking your little bit of grain that you're going to eat for that particular meal. Now, if you make a habit of that and every day say, well, I'm just going to go and grab enough grain from that field because he's got lots, that would be stealing. It's talking about someone that's traveling and doesn't have food with them. And that's the case here of the disciples. They weren't going to camp out there and continue to eat off of the crop there. They were traveling through. And so under those conditions, God allows for that because we need to eat. So the Lord, the Son of Man, is Lord also of the Sabbath. So if we would take God as our authority, which if we're saved we must do, we would find that God is a very loving, very caring God. Our world today is not that way at all. Our world is a very selfish, greedy place. And even our politicians who claim to care about us as people, if you pay attention to what's going on in our country, you know that they're very greedy, they're very corrupt. They have wasted millions upon millions of our tax dollars on schemes that are of no value whatsoever. And they still want more tax dollars. So our system does not work. And man should not be trusting in government for help. We should be trusting in God. We need to know Him, and we need to serve Him, and we need to seek to help others to know the true God. That's the solution to the problems facing our country. Those that are saved live differently. We don't depend on the government to feed us. We go out and work. And we provide for our needs. We learn to be good stewards of what we have so that we can also help others to know the truth as well. And so it's very important for us to understand the scriptures as God gave them to us and not to allow our own imaginations to rule over what God says. We need to submit to what God has actually said. We need to be sure that we're following people who are helping us to know the truth and not false teachers like the Pharisees were, because they will put you in bondage. They will keep you from the truth. But if you will listen to what God actually says, you will be set free. And it starts with being born again, being saved, knowing God's forgiveness, and then walking with Him faithfully and allowing Him to direct you in the way that He wants you to go. So if you're here today, or if you're listening via live stream, and you have questions, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we would like to help you to understand the importance of that and to know His blessing and His forgiveness. For those that are saved, we need to be students of the Word and seek to help others to know God's forgiveness in these days of grace. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have this time together. We're thankful for Thy Word, for the truthfulness of Thy Word, for the care that Thou hast for us as people in giving us Thy Word and helping us to understand it properly so that we don't get off track by those who want to make their own religion and want power rather than to help people. So we pray that Thy will be accomplished in each one that's listening today. Each one would want to know Thy peace and forgiveness and have Thy blessing in their hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.